Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Hosea 11:4. And as you are turning there, we're going to very briefly look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God says in the B part of the verse that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. One of the reasons why a believer can have problems in his life is because he deals with something other than a threefold cord. The problem is with a cord that is not threefold, that cord is easily broken. For example, let's say that a believer hears the Word of God, but that believer hears it in their natural thinking rather than in the Spirit. Or perhaps the believer tries to apply his volition to the Word of God rather than letting the Word of God transform him. Or maybe receives it in his emotions rather than receiving it properly, the way that the Holy Spirit would have us here in meekness and in truth, so that it becomes our frame of reference. When that happens, the believer has a one-fold cord. Sometimes the believer will mix things: emotions and intellect, sight perhaps and will, or sight and emotions. These are two-fold cords. But the believer can also mix the positive side in a one or a two-fold cord. I believe, but I don't believe and humble myself. Or I don't receive, I receive but not in meekness. And that is a one-fold cord also. Or perhaps I mix faith for a season, but then I consider sight also. And there is not a threefold cord. It's another one-fold cord. These types of cords are easily broken. A believer like that will easily be caused to stumble. But a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now in Hosea 11:4, the Word of God says, I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love. And I was to them as they that take the yoke off of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He is talking here about the threefold cord. He draws them with a threefold cord. What does it mean that he draws them with the bands of love, but it's the cord of a man? Well, it's very simple. The love of God, the blood of the Savior, and the Holy Spirit is the threefold cord that draws a man. So that cord is not easily broken. That cord does not stop drawing me. This is why, even though 99 sheep may be perfectly fine, but if one of them goes astray, he will leave the other 99 behind and go after that one. He's not talking about a soul winning situation here. He's talking about sheep. He's talking about believers. That means, let's say that you have a church of 99 or 100 people. 99 of them are doing perfectly fine, spirit-filled, positive volitional response, faith rest, the whole nine yards. But one believer is suffering in that congregation, and God is going to focus on the one believer who needs His help. And He will quickly and easily and completely willingly not deal with those 99 until He has completely restored the one. He will go after them. And it doesn't matter if it's something that circumstances did to them, or if it's somebody else did to them, or they did to themselves. The fact that one is struggling, the fact that one is suffering, the fact that one is astray, he will go after that one. Why? Because the threefold cord is not easily broken. In other words, the compassion that God has, the love that God has, the way that He sees that believer because of the blood, the ministry of the Spirit to that believer will not quit. It will not quit. So as a believer, this is why it's so important that I not quit. Because the threefold cord will not break. So God will go after me. I just need to not quit. Now God will allow me, if I do quit, to do so. But the cord is still not broken. If I decide to quit, then God will still continue going after me. Because I can't break that cord. Why? It's a threefold cord. It's not easily broken. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Why could that love be everlasting when Israel, who he's talking to, is a complete mess? Israel is backslidden, a spiritual prostitute. That's what he called her later on in that chapter, a spiritual prostitute. She's a complete mess. But he loves her with an everlasting love. Why? The threefold cord is not easily broken. By the way, whether you are doing well or whether you are not doing well, God loves you with an everlasting love, and that threefold cord is not easily broken. So when the love of God, the Spirit of God, and the blood of Christ, when those are the things with which God draws me, I can't escape. Not because I would be coerced, but because it is irresistible. The beauty of God's love for the believer, the beauty of God's plan for the believer, is that it's irresistible. And if the plan and the love of God and that which God has for my life is not irresistible, then I know that I have one, either not received it yet and simply thought something else was, or it's also entirely possible that I'm not thinking about it correctly. Because the threefold cord is not easily broken. This is why anyone comes to the Savior, because He is irresistible. This is why people leave everything they have behind to follow Him. Why? Because He is irresistible. This is why young people keep themselves pure and get away from the world and do things God's way. I'm so proud of my young people for this. Why? Because He is irresistible. The ways of God are better than the ways of man, and the ways of God I desire more than the ways of man. Why? They are irresistible. And if I should happen to try the ways of man instead of the ways of God, I will find just how much better the ways of God actually are. And God will be faithful to show that to me, because the threefold cord is not easily broken. If I backslide, God will go after me. God will be extremely compassionate toward me. And even in His discipline process, God will be very kind to me, because that threefold cord is not easily broken. God's character will not change toward me because that threefold cord is not easily broken. So today, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to talk about the doctrine of the cord. In Isaiah 54:2, the Word of God says in the B part, lengthen your cords. Lengthen your cords. and strengthen your stakes. What does that mean? That threefold cord needs to penetrate all the areas of my life. And when that threefold cord starts to penetrate all the aspects and the different things that are in my life, my stakes are strengthened. In other words, I become immovable because I'm being held in place by a threefold cord. Now, there are numerous types of threefold cords. And some of them draw me to God, but unfortunately some of them can draw me away from Him. But the cords that bind are threefold cords. So the cords that bind me to my Savior is a threefold cord, but also the cords that can bind me to things like the world or to sin are also threefold cords. And those also are not easily broken. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we have a threefold cord comparison, if you will, along with Proverbs 5:22. The Word of God says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now there is a threefold cord: the spirit, the soul, and the body. The human spirit, which receives from the Holy Spirit, imparts what it received from the Holy Spirit to the human soul, will then control the body. There is my threefold cord. So as God initiates to my spirit, what He has initiated becomes the frame of reference in which the rest of my soul is functioning. So my mind is thinking correctly, my emotions are responding properly, my volition is correctly related to the Lord, my self-consciousness is His view of me, and I live in the conscience of His Word. That is the frame of reference. And now I have a threefold cord functioning, living in my life. And that threefold cord is not easily broken. When the Word of God says in Galatians 2:20 that I have the life of God through the cross, what it's talking about is that cord becoming practical in its manifestation in my life. The threefold cord brings the life of God, and that's not easily broken. Likewise, in Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. That is the contrast. So we have the world, the soul, and the flesh. And so the world initiates to my soul, which then initiates to my old sin nature. And when that happens, I have an exchange between the soul and the old sin nature, so that the old sin nature, through the initiations of the world, will control my soul. So the old sin nature, through the initiations of the world, will control my self-image. It'll control my decisions. It'll control my emotions. It'll control my consciousness. It'll control everything about me. Why? Because the threefold cord is not easily broken. And so if the threefold cord is emanating out of the wrong source, that cord can hold me very powerfully. Likewise, if the threefold cord is emanating from my Savior, who loves me and gave Himself for me, that cord can hold me very powerfully. Either way, the cord that holds me, the cord that draws me, is a very powerful cord. There is only one way to break the cord of the world, the soul, and the old sin nature. And that is to replace it with the other contrasting threefold cord, where it is the spirit, the soul, and the body. And when that cord replaces the previous cord, I have the cross. And the threefold cord is not easily broken. This is why you have believers who can go through tremendous or basing or abounding. Because abounding can be just as much and even more of a trial than the abasing. This is why you have believers who can go through all kinds of various situations in their life and they always seem to be the same. They always seem like you can't move them. Why? Because you can't. They've lengthened their cord. Their cord is coming from the right place. It's attached to the right place. And it's not easily broken. So it doesn't matter to that person whether things are good or badly in respect to if they are moved. Now, I didn't say that they won't be aware that things are not going badly. Sometimes there can be tremendous suffering. But they're not easily moved because they have a threefold cord that draws them. And that cord is not easily broken. Where does that cord begin? Let's make this very practical. One of the things that personally bothers me if I hear a message where it's not practical. How do I establish a threefold cord in my life that comes from God? It comes through the receiving of the Word of God. The Word of God builds that threefold cord. It's the weaver, if you will, who weaves the cord. It's the Word of God that does it. So as a believer, I open my Bible and I start reading. That doesn't mean I have to read for hours on end. But I read to whatever my capacity will allow, and I'm consistent with it. In other words, I don't just do it once a week or once every other week or whenever. No, every day in the morning I make a little bit of time and I read my Bible. Every day I make some time and I listen to a doctrine message. As I do these things to get built up in my soul, the threefold cord is constructed in me. So it's not through striving that I establish a threefold cord. It's God builds the cord. Likewise, how do I build the other threefold cord? The one that binds those who are wicked. The way that that is built is by rejecting the Word of God. Now, there are believers who reject the Word of God. We ran into some yesterday. There are believers who reject the Word of God, who have no interest in whether they are built up that day or not, who have no interest in reading the Bible, who have no interest in listening to a message. If a believer is in that place, how do they reverse it? Well, how does an anorexic get over anorexia? The person simply starts eating. It's that simple. Now, sometimes, granted, they may need some help. But the bottom line is they start eating. How does a person who does not have the right threefold cord, who has the wrong threefold cord in their life, get over the wrong threefold cord and establish the right one? They simply start making consistently the series of decisions that will build up their inner man. And as they do that, the one cord is severed because the cross and the Word can sever a cord. The Word is, after all, sharper than any two-edged sword. So that is the one thing that is actually capable of severing a cord. So the Word severs the cord that bound me in bondage to things, whether it's sin, whether it's outward or mental, whether it's the insecurity, whether it's the wrong patterns of thinking, fear, whatever it might be. The Word severs that, and as I continue to take in the Word, the new cord is produced in me. And that cord is stronger than the other cord, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. In Matthew 28:19, we have another cord. Matthew 28:19 gives us the Father, Son, and Spirit. That is a threefold cord. This is why the believer has the ultimate victory. Because the Father, Son, and Spirit is a threefold cord in the believer's life. The entirety of the finished work depends on that cord. Where the Holy Spirit, because the Father has sent Him, brings me to what the Son has done for me. That is a threefold cord. And anything, anytime that challenges me, the Father will initiate through the finished work of the Son and the implementation of the Holy Spirit, the solution to whatever it is that troubles me in my life. And He will always be faithful to do that. He will never leave me or forsake me. If I stumble, I will not be utterly cast down. If I fall, He will cause me to stand. Why? Because it is a threefold cord. My failure is not final with the Father, nor is it greater than that threefold cord. If I have something wrong in my life, it's not greater than the provision of God. As a matter of fact, it is the invitation to the provision of God to come into my life. So if there's something that's troubling me, if I'm somehow backslidden, if there's something that's challenging me, if there's something that I have weakness in, that is that very thing that I see as a curse, and in my natural man it is a curse, but that very thing is what causes God to initiate a governmental action on my behalf through His grace. And the government of grace, as we see in Revelation 12, does even have a military to back it up. So just like the American government has a military to back up the American interests, the government of grace has an angelic army to back up its interests in my life. And God will provide me with all the angels and all the supplies and everything that I need to be more than a conqueror and to be completely and utterly victorious. Why? Because it's a threefold cord. And it is not easily broken. This is why no matter what weapon is formed against me, it can't prosper, because there's a threefold cord. And that weapon is trying to go not against me, but against the cord. And that cord is not easily broken. That cord cannot be broken by anything that is in the world. It is greater than the world. It cannot be broken by the enemy, because who shall separate us from the love of God? Nobody and nothing can. The cord is greater. And so that threefold cord becomes extremely effective in my life. And though it may take some time, and though I may even be in a place from time to time where I say, I don't see it, it's not happening. And then God says to me, you haven't seen the end of the story. You will be more than a conqueror. You will be victorious. You will experience what it means to be seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God, because there's a threefold cord that draws you. You cannot beat the threefold cord. If there's a cord in my life, I've won. That's it right there. Why? Because He makes me victorious. If there's a cord in my life, I have one. There's nothing that can break that cord. I don't care what kind of a train wreck I might be. If there is a threefold cord in my life, I have one. If I am a born-again believer, there is a threefold cord in my life. And though it may take some time, because God operates according to my capacity, and because of my capacity it makes some time, but God will cause me to stand. And God will always give me the experience of the victory. And even if I utterly rebel, He still will not cast me utterly down. He will hold me up. And the worst place that I can fall is into the everlasting arms of my Father. Why? It's a threefold cord. It's better than a bungee cord. You ever see how a bungee cord works? A bungee cord, you fall, you almost smash your skull, and then it pulls you back. He doesn't actually almost let you smash anything. He just holds you in place. It's a threefold cord, and it cannot be broken. In John 15:26, the Word of God says, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me." And in 14:16 of John, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." And there we have another threefold cord. We have Christ, we have the Spirit, and we have the believer. There is the threefold cord. The Spirit is when God pours out on a man. So the Spirit of Christ, who asked the Father to send the Spirit, why is it necessary that Christ asked the Father to send the Spirit? Because Christ shed His blood. When the One who is my righteousness sends the Spirit to the believer, I have a threefold cord. That is where I can be led of God, yet not have one failure remembered. This is why I can be completely righteous before God and still be a sinful man. This is why it doesn't matter what is in my past. The blood has made me clean, and the Savior can initiate any plan in my life that He desires. This is why Saul could become Paul. He had a man who was a mass murderer, cleansed by the blood, and then led by the Spirit of God to become the greatest apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This is why David, who was a murderer and an adulterer, could be the one that God calls the Prince of the Millennium, the greatest king Israel has had, the one who put Israel on the map. Why? Threefold cord. It's a three. This is why Ahab, as wicked as he was, at the end of his life can be saved and then received something from God. He was Jezebel's husband. That means all the things that Jezebel did, she did by the authority of Ahab. But there was a threefold cord that came into Ahab's life at the end of his life, and it would not let him suffer the results of the wickedness that he had implemented. It was a threefold cord. It's a threefold cord of grace. By the Holy Spirit's government, the righteousness of the blood then causes the believer to become like Christ. It's a threefold cord, and it is not easily broken. Show me a believer with a cross in his life, and I'll show you the most powerful being there is on this planet. Why? It's a threefold cord. In families, in Ephesians 5:25, we have a threefold cord. Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman. That is a threefold cord. And when Christ initiates to the man, by the way, gentlemen, before you even remotely consider marriage, make sure that you are properly related to Christ and to the Word of God. Ladies, never even remotely consider marrying a man who is not properly related to Christ and to the Word of God. Why? No threefold cord in that relationship. Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the woman. When that threefold cord is functioning, then you have God's life being imparted and reflected in that relationship. Then the woman sees Christ in her husband, and the man sees the reflection of Christ in his wife. And it's a threefold cord. This is where God is between me and thee in that relationship. And it becomes a threefold cord. That cord is not easily broken. Folks, why do you think that there is an 80% divorce rate? Because they lack a threefold cord. Why do you think people get married and they have these delusions of nirvana or some sort of utopia? And then the reality comes in that the threefold cord was missing, and you have a great deal of heartbreak and sorrow in relationships like that. Why is that? No threefold cord. If you take a situation where somebody is in there and you introduce the threefold cord, you can take the worst relationship in the world and make it beautiful. Why? Because God is in that relationship with a threefold cord, where the life of God is flowing from God to the man, to the woman, and then from the woman reflected back to the man, back to God. There you have a threefold cord, and it is not easily broken. And that's a relationship that can stand any sort of a trial, and then those two people in that are completely victorious and God is glorified, and there is great love and great joy in that type of a relationship. Young people, let me ask you something. Do you want a marriage that is happy or painful? You will have one or the other. The difference is how you go about it. Do you want one that is happy or painful? That simple. In Colossians 3, in verse 19 and 20, we have another threefold cord. But this is a threefold cord made of doublets. The Word of God says, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And then you tie that into Ephesians 5:20, and you have a threefold cord made of doublets. You have a God-Christ, Christ-man, man-woman relationship. And then you also have a man-woman-child relationship. In other words, there you have the union of God and Christ, Christ and man and woman, functioning in the complete and full life and love and character of God. And that will then extend to the man-woman relationship and the man-woman and child relationship, parents and children relationship. And there you have a series of threefold cords that are functional in the dynamics of a home. And Christ is revealed in the various manifestations that a family possesses in which Christ can be reflected. And you have multiple threefold cords holding that family together. Now you're not only talking about one threefold cord, you're talking about several. If one's not easily broken, forget trying to break several. This is where you end up with families that have a lifelong health in their relationships, where children love their parents rather than hate them in rebellion, where parents love their children instead of becoming resentful towards any form of rebellion or any form of failure or what have you, any form of commitment that they need to have toward that child. It comes to these threefold cords. When those threefold cords are present, it's very difficult to turn away the manifestation of God's character in those types of relationships. In other words, you have those types of relationships and they are very healthy and very edifying and very satisfying. They are safe places to be. These are the types of things where kids are happy at home and where it is not a chore to respond to a parent, because it's not a chore to the parent to be a parent, and then it's not a chore to the child to be a child of that parent. Because to come to that parent for the child is to come to the love of God, and then for that father or mother, for that parent, to come to the child is an opportunity to have the love of God flow through them. And both are profoundly edified. Both are profoundly built. This is where a family becomes the representation of what a church is toward God. It's a threefold cord represented in many aspects. That kind of a family is not easily broken, because the love and the life of God, the joy of the Lord, is there. That kind of a family both has structure and order, but also great joy and great love. That kind of a family is highly functional. That kind of a family reveals both within the family to each member and then through the family to the rest of the world who God is. Because it operates in multiple threefold cords. That's one healthy family. That's what Satan attacks in our country. The structure of the family. So that parents become bitter against their children and children become bitter against their parents. He hates threefold cords. In Titus 1:5-7, we have a threefold cord in the body of Christ. We have a pastor, we have the elders, and then we have the congregation. And between them they make up a threefold cord. And when the pastor functions in the way that God has defined for the pastor through the Holy Spirit, as an architect of faith, not lording over the heritage, but feeding the sheep, feeding the flock, through the enabling of the Holy Spirit as He imparts the Word of God to the pastor's thinking, and then the pastor communicates what the Spirit wants to share with the churches as the Spirit is speaking to his heart, as the elders provide leadership for the congregation that is Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, through prayer, through grace, through compassion, through revealing the character of God to that congregation, along with that pastor. And then that pastor responds to that which they have heard to have their faith built, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, to go from faith to faith, to go from grace to grace. They become tremendously dynamic individuals that reflect the character of God back to the elders and the pastor. And there you have a self-sustaining, self-propagating, and self-edifying corporate organism known as the body of Christ. This is the living church. Why is it like that? Because there is a threefold cord, and that cord is not easily broken. This is where people grow and are transformed. Now, I did not say that this is where people are perfect. I did not say this is where people never fail. I did not say this is where people only come when they get it together. I said this is where they grow. This is where they're transformed. This is where they are conformed to the image of Christ as He takes that which was imparted to them through the message and then works that into their life, both through the Spirit and then the circumstances which make it practical. There's your threefold cord within the corporate body of Christ. When you have that, you have a very healthy church. Then you have what it means that the church is the body of Christ. Because the life of God is being expressed through individual believers. And it's a threefold cord. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we have three things. The Word of God says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. It's a threefold cord. Faith, hope, and love. This is the very same thing that 1 Corinthians 13 says, that those are the primary three things. Faith, hope, and love. One energizing the other, reinforcing the first. Faith, hope, and love. Love energizes my faith. Faith produces that hope that does not disappoint. When that hope that does not disappoint comes and is realized in a temporal realm, then that hope reinforces in me the love of God toward me. And now I enter into a cyclic cord that is constantly propagating itself, that is constantly developing me, that is constantly maturing me, and that is constantly transforming me into the image of His Son. And when I can enter into that kind of a relationship within my soul to the things that are producing faith, hope, and love in me, where it becomes a cyclic event, where one produces and both reinforces the other, then I grow in leaps and bounds. Now, never did I say that I become perfect. But I do grow. And the notion of perfection, by the way, in case that is entering into anyone's mind, and I don't know it if it is, but the Holy Spirit is leading me to say this. The notion of perfection is something I may as well just get rid of. Because I will not attain it until I go home to be with the Lord. But the threefold cord is something that can draw me with amazing power and allow the very imperfection that I see as my curse to become the very enabling of grace toward me. And when that happens, I don't live in the curse of the fall. I live in the provision that God gives to deal with the fall. And that provision would not have come without the need. And so I don't curse the need. I thank God for the provision. And I get to know Him. And then finally, in 1 Timothy 1:2, the Word of God gives grace, mercy, and peace as a threefold cord. For a government that has as its operational premise the unmerited divine favor of God being expressed to a believer, so that that believer is treated in nothing other than pure mercy, will then produce great peace in that believer's life. Because that believer knows that no matter what happens, His mercy will endure forever. He will never leave nor forsake him. And when he does fail, grace does abound. And that grace brings him out, because he will not be judged because of mercy. And he becomes victorious. And as he becomes victorious, great peace is in his heart. Amen.